The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody, and welcome back to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. Yes, the matchmaking crowns are back on after a rare week off for the UFC. They return to Brazil for the second time in 2023, this time in Sao Paulo. We had Gelson Almeida pick up a dominant win over Derek Lewis, one that left a lot of people scratching their heads, some back and forth. People chose sides. Based on this performance, we'll talk about what could be next for one Gelson Almeida and some of the other tastemakers from this card. But I am Mike Heck, and joining me as always on this all-new episode of the program, the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the Prince of Positivity, and he's my best friend, gosh darn it. He is the incomparable Alexander Kaley, AK. How we doing, my man?
You know, Mike, I've seen some people complaining on YouTube about when we talk about being best friends all the time. They're saying, oh, they don't like when I say we're best friends because we're best friends. But let me tell you something, my best friend. You're my best friend. And nothing these people say is going to change that, my best friend. So I just want you to know that. Gelson Almeida train, chugging along, my friend. Chugging along without any problems. I cannot wait to matchmake for him and for the rest of this card. A mostly enjoyable UFC Sao Paulo card. Did not regret watching it. You know, we always talk about how it's our job to watch it, but we still have moments where, like, it's our job and we're kind of rolling our eyes and struggling to get through a card. This, to me, was a pretty brisk watch, except for the main event, which it dragged a little bit. It maybe wasn't the most high-paced, exciting bout that we've seen to close out a show.
Yes, I think both heavyweight bouts left a lot to be desired. Two more rounds for Nascimento, Dontel Mays. I demand it. I need it. I need to see it. At least two more rounds. Maybe we get an apexy main event out of those two gentlemen. But let's get into this, AK. Let's begin with Gelson Almeida. The train continues to roll along. Now, he has come out like a freight train going at the speed of light. This was more of like a choo-choo train. This is more like Thomas and Friends. Just gingerly strolling along the tracks, very slowly and methodically getting from stop to stop. This is not a train you take if you need to get somewhere very fast. It was a marathon, not a sprint for one Gelson Almeida, but he won, dominates Derek Lewis. This fight was not really all that competitive at any point in this fight. And no matter what you say about the performance, it wasn't aesthetically pleasing. It's not one we're ever going to go back and watch again. But the man checked off the most important box, and that was a victory. So, AK, he was supposed to fight Curtis Blaydes. He called out Cyril Gane after this victory. Told our own Guillermo Cruz that's exactly what he was going to do. Is that the fight you're booking? Are you going a different direction? Where are we going with one, Jailton Almeida?
Man, people who saw the post-fight show, I did what I could to defend Jailton's performance. I still stand by it. I know where, we can be a bit takey in the media, but this is a take that I think will, my take defending sort of, if you want to just score the fight 50-40 or whatever, or say he dominated, but, didn't finish, and that's fine. I think that take will age well, because this is the what have you done for me lately business. All sports are, but I think MMA maybe even more so than others, because this man was a berserker up until this fight, and now suddenly I see people saying he's a lay and pray artist, and that's his fault. He now bears this is the consequences of winning a fight this way, is you're gonna have people saying that. Maybe they haven't seen you fought before, or maybe again they just kind of are judging you by your latest outing, and this is the price that Jailton pays. Is it fair? It's not fair. But if he had finished Derek Lewis, we wouldn't even be talking about it. So it was in his hands. But again, people have been in boring fights before. Derek Lewis, Francis Ngannou. I was just thinking about Rose and Carla today, and people still think Rose is great. That would probably hurt her reputation. But John Jones and Ovince St. Preux. Years ago, people don't remember this fight. Terrible outing for John Jones. He's doing all right. So all of that is to say, I think we just need to see the Curtis Blaydes fight. I think midway through mount number 7 of the Sao Paulo main event, I was like, I really need to know if he could do this to Curtis Blaydes, because I doubt it. If he can, that would be super impressive. But this is the fight that we were supposed to see. It was a great booking by the UFC matchmakers to test if Almeida's the real deal. And instead, we got something that kind of muddied the waters. Let's just not overthink this. Let's do Jailton Almeida and Curtis Blaydes as soon as Blaydes is healthy, please.
Yeah. And look, the pre-fight approach of one Jailton Almeida saying, look, once I win this fight, I'm going to leapfrog Curtis Blaydes and I'm going to go call Ciryl Gane. I was like, okay, because if he wins this fight, and according to the betting odds and sort of how I felt about it, when he wins this fight, he's just going to go run over Derek Lewis in like 7 minutes and call it a day. Maybe he takes a big punch and faces a little bit of adversity. I was hoping to possibly see that, but we didn't even see that in this fight. So yeah, I'm with you. This isn't even a friends forever. This is just what he gets. He gets the tougher fight. He gets the fight he was supposed to get. Now, had he gone out and finished Derek Lewis, I actually think the UFC would have tried to put that Ciryl Gane fight together, which if I'm Ciryl Gane, I ain't touching that fight with the 10-foot pole, but he's kind of in a position where he doesn't really have a choice, because Ciryl Gane's already mucked his own waters in a lot of respects by how his attitude was after beating Sergey Spivak. Oh no, if I don't fight for the belt, I ain't fighting anybody, essentially, which is just a terrible take and a terrible attitude, especially with how murky this division is right now, wondering whether or not John's going to fight again, John Jones or Stipe or any of these guys. So I don't know. I think maybe if you're Ciryl Gane, maybe just take a shot at Jailton. Maybe take a shot. Maybe you took something away here. Maybe you feel like you could do some damage, or feel like if you get taken down, you're not going to take any damage, kind of like what Derek Lewis did. So I don't know, but I feel like Blaydes is really the only fight to make here. I don't think he gained a whole lot here other than a second paycheck. And I just think the train didn't actually really leave the station here. It just stays exactly where it is. The journey can't continue, but he didn't go backwards. So I guess that's something.
Yeah, I'm still of the belief that he's one of the top, Jailton Almeida is one of the top five heavyweights in the world. I would still put him up there with, I would love to see him fight Aspinall, Pavlovich, John Jones, Ciryl Gane, all those guys, whatever, Stipe, that's not going to happen. I'd love to see all these fights. But if you're the UFC, that's a tough sell after Saturday. That's really the main problem, is he is now remembered as the guy who did like a weird 25-minute live sweaty jiu-jitsu clinic with Derek Lewis. And again, I can't say enough. Is that it's not fair, but that's the reality of it. That is the reality of the situation. This was a pretty big spot again. Not his first main event, but his first main event against probably the biggest name. You could say Jairzinho is like a better fighter than Derek Lewis, maybe, but Derek Lewis is clearly the more famous fighter. So this was the most famous opponent that Almeida fought. Probably had the most eyeballs on him ever, and a lot of those eyeballs were nodding off. We're struggling to stay open during this fight, and that's a bad sign if you're trying to endear the UFC to you.
Yes. Jailton Almeida, by the way, landed just 38 strikes in this fight. Did you see five rounds?
Did you see Ben Davis's choke tweet before? He's like, "This is way before the fight. It was like before the show even started. And it was like if Gelson Almeida lands 3,398 strikes against Derek Lewis, he'll become number one in like significant strikes landed. And obviously, it's just a throwaway gag. I don't think he was predicting it to be a boring fight, but the tweet suddenly became like even funnier later, given how that fight played out.
Yes, 38 significant strikes. Derek Lewis landed 20, which is 10 times more than the significant strikes Almeida has absorbed in his previous five UFC fights.
Really? They lost 20? Yeah, some of those shots that Derek Lewis landed did look a little dangerous. I didn't think a lot of them were significant, but 20, that's a lot. And it is disappointing. Like 38 significant strikes when you have that much top control. That's pretty crazy. So less than 10. This is amazing on math I'm doing here. Less than 10 per round. Yeah. But
he got credit for 120 total, but only 38 of those are significant.
Yeah, which I agree with. Because I don't think you count, like, he's kind of like hammer-fisting his body. Like, he's hammer-fisting his body because Mark Goddard is, like, yelling at him. I'm like, okay, he doesn't even want to be doing this. He's just trying to keep it on the ground. Yeah.
He's like, come on, man.
Okay, I'm hitting him.
The only strikes Derek Lewis landed were, like, the Happy Gilmore strikes, where he just kind of got on top of it. It was just going like this. You can't see me, but I'm just basically just like swinging my arms like I'm Popeye the Sailor Man right now. Yeah. Those are the strikes he's landing and some elbows, but yeah, we'll see. But yes, Almeida Blades is the fight we need to see. But let's move on. Derek Lewis, we're not going to really match make for him.
No.
Can we just do the Jairzinho fight for the love of God? Like, I feel like we've said this for for 3 years now. Let's just do that fight and let's just do it. What are we waiting for? Golly. It's time, AK.
I saw a lot of people calling for rematches, so that makes sense too. I'm a little surprised. Has he had a rematch in the UFC?
I don't think so.
That's wild. Given how long he's been around, you think he would have fought? I guess most of his fights end in finishes, so they don't feel inclined to run those back. Like, it's not like there's a lot of controversy, though he has had a couple of stoppages that he disagreed with, and I think fans disagreed with. So I love the Rosenstreich matchup, but it feels like there has to be some sort of rematch in the cards. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, he's got options. The loss does almost nothing to his stock at all.
Nothing at all. Yeah. And as you saw in the featured bout, heavyweight is a thriving division with surging up and comers. So Derek Lewis has got to stay busy. Let's go to Nicholas Dalby, AK. This guy, just the man, goes out there, has a tough first round against Gabriel Bonfim, and then just turns on the juice. Brazilian beast, Nicholas Dalby, going in there, finishing Gabriel Bonfim, handing the man his first loss, just grinds it out. He's got the bloody face, just loving life, and then cuts a great promo, putting the Brazilian crowd over. Maybe the nicest guy when the fight's not happening in the entire sport. What a performance from Nicholas Dalby. So here's what we're going to do here, AK, because there was one fight that happened earlier on this card where I even DM'd you one of my old picks. I said, hey, Renat Fakhretdinov is about to fight Joaquin Buckley. I hope Joaquin Buckley's paying attention here because this is his future. And then Renat Fakhretdinov is like, you know what? There's vibes in the air where we're just going to go out and have a good time tonight. We're not going to go out and try to hurt people. We're just going to go in and have fun and smile and hug and high five people. So he ends up getting caught and the fight ends up in a draw. So because of that, Mr. Fakhretdinov loses the opportunity to fight one Joaquin Buckley, perhaps in an Apex main event, which is what Buckley called for. And instead, congratulations, Nicholas Dalby. Now you get to fight Joaquin Buckley in your next fight after this incredible performance. And I feel like we could still get some of those questions answered in regards to how good Joaquin Buckley is. I think Dalby deserves a big fight. I think Buckley's a guy a lot of people know. Let's do it. Let's get those guys in there. Definitely a main card fight. That's what I'm going with. Congratulations, Nicholas. You get the Joaquin Buckley fight.
I like it. Very fan-friendly fight. Very good. I don't know if I have Buckley ranked ahead of Dalby. Let me take a quick glance at rankings. I'm pretty sure I don't. I think Dalby would be ahead of him. They're close. Oh, I have them right next to each other. Wow. Like, how do you do it?
I don't know.
How do you do it? I have Dalby at 21, Joaquin Buckley at 22. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense for both guys. Great. It's a great fight. I mean, Buckley hasn't looked bad going the distance, but I do think it is one of those fights where you're kind of, you know, gripping the edge of your seat for a possible Buckley finish in the first half of the fight. And then as it progresses, you're gripping extra hard once Dalby sort of starts turning it on, as he tends to do in these fights. So yeah, great logical matchmaking. I want to make a definitive move up the rankings. I want to give him as someone who I have in my top 15. Not sure he's in the MMA fighting global rankings top 15 at the moment or the UFC's. Let's go with former UFC lightweight champion Rafael Dos Anjos, sort of keeping the Brazil killer theme going. Two veterans. I think they would just be such a, like I said, two nice guys, such a classy fight. Dalby's got this weird thing. He doesn't lose to Brazilians. And Rafael Dos Anjos is still one of the best out there. If Dalby beats him, he might definitively have a number next to his name for the first time. I don't think he's even been in the UFC's rankings. Pretty sure. I don't think he's made their top 15. And he's been hanging around for a while. He might receive votes in our rankings come the next cycle. And if he beats someone like Dos Anjos, I think you have to give him a top 15 spot. So, Mike, you mentioned that it's he was very nice to the Brazil crowd. It's easy to be nice to a crowd when you own their country. So I don't think it's very hard for Dalby. He's like, I beat all your guys' asses. Why wouldn't I be nice to you? So RDA, you may have to RDA might have to step in and humble this guy a bit. But no, they're both swell characters.
Yeah, I like that fight. It's a good pick right there. We were going back to the heavyweight division. The rematch the world had been waiting for. Rodrigo Nascimento versus Dontayle Mays 2. And what do you know who won the pony, AK? Rodrigo Nascimento improves to 2-0 against Dontayle Mays. Who knows, AK? Maybe some controversial decision action here. Maybe someone's screaming robbery out there. Who knows? Maybe November 2026, we get the trilogy fight. Or maybe they just run it back right now and these two could be tied together. We can have the first best of seven series in the history of the UFC, AK. Is that where we're going here? Nascimento Mays 3 after this performance?
What are we doing? Mike, I like a good troll as much as the next person. I like a good meme as much as the next person. We don't have to... I still can't believe... Like, we should have just said, could we... You and I should have made an executive no decision and just said, let's do Angela Hill instead. She deserves to be a mandatory pick. I don't know if she's your wild card pick. But she deserves to get some sort of chatter on the show after putting out a great performance against Stacey Gomez. Instead, we're talking about this completely unnecessary, not entertaining rematch between Nascimento and Mays. It was fine. It was a three-round. It was a well-fought three-round heavyweight fight, not something we'll be talking about at the end of the year by any means. And it sounds so weird to say, like, Nascimento now, three-fight win streak, 4-1 in the UFC. Plus the no contest. I think he won the no contest, right? He was overturned. So whatever, 4-1, 5-1, whatever you want to call it. And it feels like he deserves a bigger opponent now. But two of those wins are Dontayle Mays. So how much credit do you give to this 4-1? I went just slightly ahead of the rankings. Alexander Romanov, you know, been a little bit disappointing recently, but is I think a top 15 heavyweight in the UFC. So throw them in there together, and Nascimento can maybe take that spot, or Romanov with a, you know, dominant performance can kind of gain some of that shine that he had earlier on.
I'm not even queuing up the band because this is literally the only fight to make. Nothing
no, we
else
should
makes
queue
sense.
Up.
No, you want to queue up the band?
I think this is Friends Forever. Where I don't think it's a. There's other.
Like who? There's like 27 heavyweights.
Marcin Tybura. Now I'm going like top up 12, 11, top 10. Tied to a, yeah, he just hasn't earned a top 10 fight. I just don't. But he could get it.
I feel like. Just the idea of them booking this rematch, like, is forcing people to punish Nascimento and having him fight Romanov. Be like, all right, enough of this. Go fight this crazy dude. All right, well, let's cue the band. Three, right. Two, one. Friends forever. Yes, it's Romanov. And
okay.
Let's move on with our lives.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Let's move on to the most egregious thing that was said into a live microphone on Saturday. It came from Caio Baraglio. It came from a fun guy. Look, I like Caio Baraglio. He's a nice guy. He's got a good personality. He's very upbeat. He's positive. Dude's winning fights. He's 5-0. I have to say, about for the first 11 minutes of his fight with Abus Magomedov, I went right back to what I thought about Caio Baraglio after like his first two UFC fights. This guy has a very good chance of fighting Armin Petrosian down the line for the middleweight title. Like, that is a future middleweight championship main event. Baraglio turned it on a little bit, got a little physical, hurt Abus, almost got him out of there, couldn't quite do it. And then, big smile on his face, crowd's cheering for him, gets the microphone, and then just crickets, calls out Dricus du Plessis, of all people, the number one contender at 185 pounds. The unranked Caio Baraglio calls out the number one contender for the middleweight title after a somewhat contentious decision win over Abus Magomedov. This was just a bad call out. I'm sorry, Caio. I like you, buddy. I do. This is a bad call out. Now, there's some people in our Slack channel, we bring this up from time to time, we're like, it doesn't really matter, the UFC doesn't book fights based on call-outs. First of all, it's not true. It's just not true. We need, this helps. So when they do video packages for the fight, what's the genesis of this fight and this rivalry? It's this moment when he called out Dricus du Plessis. Now, 9 years down the line, when they've actually booked Caio Baraglio versus Dricus du Plessis, we could go back all the way to 2023, where this all began. And then when they fight for the middleweight title in 2032, now we know where the genesis of the rivalry comes from. But this is just a waste. This is just a waste of a call-out. This is a waste of microphone time. You could have called out anybody in the top 15. You could have called out anybody else just outside of the top 15. There are guys who are in the same position you are, who are undefeated coming up in the UFC, who are way more over than you are right now. How about trying to take some of their shine? But instead, you call it the number one contender for the middleweight title? Oh, Caio, do better. Look at where Bilal Muhammad is right now, man. Look at what Bilal is doing right now. He's just anxiously waiting for the phone to ring, yet will probably answer it and the words, hey, you're about to fight for the welterweight title, are probably not the words he's going to hear, because Bilal made so many missteps with a live microphone and then realized it after the fact. Kyle, come on, man. There's better guys out there. And instead, after this performance, Kyle, I was going to give you a rank guy. Now I'm not. Now you're not getting a rank guy. You're getting punished. You're getting punished. But it's a fight that I really kind of want to see. And if you win this fight, Kyle, if you call it Trickus Duplessis again, I'm just banning you from the show altogether. So, the fight we are making, two surging middleweights, AK, Kyle Baraglio versus the surging Jun Young Park. Next fight. Let's go.
Jun Young Park is a great pick. We've broken his name out a bunch of times. I don't know if we've ever actually nailed down one of his matchups. Quality rant, by the way, Mike. Also, I gotta say, quality rant. I know you've been honing this since last night, since like a comedian honing his material. You were very upset about it in our Slack. You brought it up in the post fight show, and I think you've refined your criticism of the Kaio Bahayo Kala to a fine art, and I am very impressed with this. I want to play devil's advocate. I want to defend what Kaio did, but even I can agree. You need timing is important, and people have pointed out, like, okay, how much do these calls necessarily matter? And like, for every one Ian Machado Gary who seems to be able to manifest matchups, whatever, there's again maybe a dozen other Bilal Muhammad's and what have you. So, like I said, I'm always like, go for it. It might not hurt you. But there's so much more he could have done with this. And I think the UFC likes him too. I think that's the other thing that bothers us is the UFC clearly has an eye on him. They have given him good, co-main event spots on Apex Cars and things like that. They liked him off the Contender Series. I think that with the right suggestion, they will go along with him. And this, Trickus Duplessis just wasn't it. So the only real way I can defend it is say it's aim for the moon and you'll land in the shoot for the moon and you'll land in the stars type thing. But as we've seen, that's not always the result of these kinds of call-outs. Mike, I went with a matchup to give another matchup stakes. I don't know if you've seen the November 18th Apex card, Mike, headlined by Brendan Allen and Paul Craig. It's not great.
Oh yeah, that graphic was was rough.
I got something else with respect to all those fighters competing on the main card. I like the main event, Brendan Allen, Paul Craig, great fight. Happy about it. It does feel, again, kind of a shaky main event. It does feel like something you would more put on a co-main with a slightly more notable fight. But Brendan Allen's streaking at middleweight. Paul Craig has looked good, dropping down. So, nothing wrong with it. But let's give it some real stakes, Mike. Let's make that the Kaio Bahayo sweepstakes. And let's have the winner of that fight. Let's have Kaio take on the winner of that fight. Kaio, I agree. He probably should get a number next to his name. I don't know if when they update the rankings this Tuesday, maybe he'll sneak in at 15 in the UFC's official rankings. They have Anthony Fluffy Hernandez at 15, Chris Curtis at 14. So maybe to reward him, he is 5-0 now in the UFC. He'll sneak him into one of those spots. I'm not fully convinced. And if they don't, then he should target Craig or Allen, who are ranked. That would have been the right call out, actually. Now that I'm saying it, I just wish he had said this on air, because he definitely, health permitting, would have gotten the winner of that fight. It just makes a lot of sense. Now he's kind of put himself in limbo. But thankfully, I don't care about that stuff, and I'm using my crystal ball here and saying that it'll still shake out.
Here's a message to everybody listening to this program right now, because I know what you're thinking. You're probably yelling at your speakers right now. You're ready to just razz me. And I get it. I get it. Because I was lazy. I didn't do my research. I didn't do my homework. And it isn't often that this happens on this program, but I just dropped a big pile of stinking, steaming doo-doo on all of you, because Jun Young Park is booked already. He's fighting Andre Muniz on December 9th in Shanghai.
I did not know this.
I also did not know this. The man with 4 wins in a row. Jun Young Park has won 7 of 8. Golly, can we just cancel this fight and do the Baraglio fight? I'd rather see that. So, yeah, that's just a bad pick by me. I'm very upset with myself. I'm very upset.
But
I don't know what to do here. I don't know
the self-policing though. I think that you're transparent. You're transparent, and so people appreciate it.
Look, my first thought was like, let's just rebook the Rudzibov fight, because I actually really want to see that fight, because I'm very high on Nursultan Rudzibov. I think he's dangerous. I think I'm just gonna kind of by proxy just go right back to that. I don't know why Rudzibov had to pull out of the fight, but I don't know if it's like a travel thing or whatnot, but I kind of want to see it. Like, I'll get some questions answered from Kayo if he wins that fight. The thing with Kayo is, like, the UFC definitely likes him. There's no doubt about it. He's a positive dude. Like, he's a marketable guy. Not the most thrilling fighter. And on top of that, of all the up-and-comers right now, he might be, like, the sixth most interesting one to me. Because Ikram Askarov might be the fifth best middleweight in the world right now. And he's not even ranked. Joe Pyfer, I think, is ahead of him. I think Shara Magomedov is more interesting right now as an up-and-comer than Kayo is. I think Michel Pereira is a guy who could be a little bit higher. That's a good one. Maybe I'll go with that. Let's do Kayo versus Michel Pereira. Love that idea. Anthony Hernandez. Even Armin Petrosian. There's so many, but yeah, I'll go with Michel Pereira. That's what I'm going with.
I'm going to say something here. I don't know if we have confirmed this, but I'm just doing it now. Kyle Bahalio is the middleweight champion right now.
Really? Oh, wow.
If only he hadn't gotten that finish of Michael Oleksiy. Even that, you know what? Even that doesn't disqualify him. The only thing that makes him not an easy pick is that so much of his fights have been in the main card that I actually do have pretty strong memories of how a lot of these fights played out, which is one of the qualifiers we always say for being like a middleweight is like, oh, your fight, you can't remember who they fought. Their fights kind of blob together. Kyle's been in some like prominent spots and we do talk about him quite a bit, but I do think if you go back and look at his fights, it's weird. They just never hit another gear. You're watching a skilled martial artist. He's in great shape. He looks like a great athlete, looks like a good fighter, but it never quite plays out as you want to. When it's in the cage, it just doesn't materialize. And again, like I said, he's 5-0. Most people would not be able to figure that out. And it gets good competition. Magomedov, Oleksaychuk, Morodov, those last three wins are really good. I think, Mike, I think the Armin Petrosian fight, we didn't realize it, was actually for an interim middleweight title. We didn't realize it. So I think he's actually been defending the interim title this whole time, and I am now elevating that title to undisputed status. Because some of these guys who are middleweights, like Brendan Allen, he's gotten too good now. Now he's actually like contending, like we're actually talking about him contending for a real title. So he can't be in the discussion anymore. So the interim champion, Kyle Bahalio, now the middleweight. Again, clearly a good fighter, but boy, just not memorable, some of these performances. So what a call out, though.
Let me ask you this. What if, and just to drop a little teaser here, as you guys know, there's going to be some new content coming out. I played golf with Chris Weidman. It's called Swing Rounds. I talked to him. We had some fight talk
Fire.
As well.
Fire.
What if Kyle Bahalio called out Chris Weidman? How do you think what do you think the reaction would have been to that?
From because you? Chris,
no, in general. Because Chris is telling me, like, he's already back training. Like, his leg's good. He's cleared to, like, book a fight. So he wants to come back, like, early, like first quarter 2024. And he feels like there's a very strong chance that happens. What if Kyle called out Chris and said, okay, let's just do that. I want to fight a former champion.
Wait, reaction from Chris or reaction from the
from
general
from
pop,
you
the general
from
public?
You
oh from me
from the I, do you think people would be like, oh, what an asshole? Because I feel like like, what's worse, the DDP call out or the Weidman call out? I think it's the DDP call out by a mile.
I'll say Weidman only because Weidman is like pretty widely beloved by the MMA community, I feel, and it would just feel like a young guy trying to take a name of a you know, recently wounded animal. And kind of pick on it, kind of vulture it a little bit. And I think fans would not like that. The DDP call-out was confusing, but at least he did it with passion and vigor. And like, if by some miracle, let me put it this way, if by some miracle he could pick whatever fight he wanted and actually get it, the DDP fight actually makes sense for obvious reasons, the Chris Weidman fight, people would just be like, people would be pretty mad. Very, pretty bad. So if he had a magic wand,
More people would care about a Caio Braulio fight than ever before if he called out Weidman.
He would. It would be a bit of a temporary heel turn. For that one fight, he would be a heel. Depending where it happened, I assume it would happen in the U.S. He'd be a heel big time. And sometimes you're right. Sometimes okay. Sometimes that's okay, Mike. Sometimes it's just important that people are talking about you in some regard, which is not, I think, not really what happened with the DDP callout.
Yeah, this whole, you can't run anymore, DDP. Yeah, he's running towards a title shot, Caio.
Does Drickus know who he is? Has he mentioned him?
No, I don't think so. I think Caio like called him out once before, like a long time ago. And then, Drickus went in and like started finishing everybody and having really exciting fights all the time. And now he's about to fight for the belt. So again, Caio, props. I like you, but just be better. Do not fall into that trap where you just don't. Look, it's like you're climbing a rope, okay? But then, like, your hands slip a little bit and you feel like your feet are going to hit the floor sooner than they actually do. Don't break your ankles, buddy. Don't break your ankles. Just be very, very smart. Land softly, and I think you'll be okay. Just stay within your range.
I had to check Twitter quickly to see if Drick has tweeted a who the F is that guy gif, because that pretty much would have ended Kaio's call out. And any if there was any steam off of that call out, it pretty much would have annihilated it with a very simple GIF reaction. But no reaction from DDP, which again is almost as bad. That's like the second worst thing. Not even tweeting something like "You'll get your chance, buddy" or something. Nothing. No recognition. Was not watching UFC Sao Paulo because he didn't think anyone in that show would even think of calling him out. And that's bad.
Let's move on to the, I didn't think we'd spend 15 minutes on Caio Braulio's next fight, but here we are. We go to lightweight division, aka Elvis Brenner, who might have solidified it. He might have just locked up the rookie of the year in 2023, although there is a young man fighting next Saturday named Diego Lopez. He might have something to say about this if he gets a big win over Pat Sabatini on the main card at MSG, but Elvis Brenner might just be the guy right now. What a ferocious knockout. Not only is he in the rookie of the year conversation, he might have just found himself in the knockout year discussion as well. What's next, man? 3-0? What a year this guy has had. He's getting some good wins, some pretty good names. Like, I know this is a short notice opponent, but the first two, Tukugov and Kutatzeladze, are tremendous wins for your first two UFC fights, and he's just looked like a killer. What's next?
Yeah, I defended Jelton in the main event a lot, saying like, oh, he got a new opponent. It kind of changes the expectations for him, and I kind of understand why he didn't finish. Elvis Brenner doesn't care about that crap. He was supposed to fight who was this supposed to be? This was supposed to be Esteban Ribovitz, which good matchup, but he was, favored. This is the first time in Elvis Brenner's first three UFC fights that he was favored, because he fought Gudam and Tukugov. I think both fights he was a huge underdog and scraped out one of those wins and won the other one late. This time he delivered, man. Kanan Kruszewski, a talented guy, probably will have better fights ahead, but this time he was the wrong end of a highlight reel. He was a chalk out line. Brenner looks super dangerous. I agree. I think has to be one of the front runners for rookie of the year. Depending what Diego Lopez does, he'd have to really impress me, because I know we all like that first fight with Mobstar, but he didn't win it technically. So I got to go with Brenner up front. I want to move him up, not too far, but we have a fight this next week. So I'm doing another matchup based on pending outcome. Mark Madsen, Jared Gordon, great fight on the 295 prelims. I think Brenner gets one of those guys. I think it kind of fits the bill with Brenner's previous fights, where he's facing maybe more well-known, more experienced guys, and we'll see if he can keep shocking them. And I would favor him actually over either of those guys.
This is actually one of the easier picks for me. Drew Dober. It's Drew Dober. That's fight.
Oh, you want fire. You just want pure fire.
Yeah.
This is it's litmus crank.
Test. It's lightweight litmus test time. This is it. Let's see what he's made of. If he goes out there and beats Drew Dober, like I think people are believers anyways, but if he goes out and beats a guy like Drew Dober, if he goes out and finishes Drew Dober, then it's like, all right, let's do this thing. Let's do this thing. Let's give him Paddy Pimblett next. Like that kind of a thing. So Oh man, do they give him Tony Ferguson after the Pimblett fight? Oh god. Let's move on. I'm going down a bad place. I'm going into a bad place right now.
No, going down a bad place. No, that's never a bad place, Mike.
Let me see.
That's the best place you can go.
I just read this tweet. Derek Brunson tweets out 11 hours ago. Record. Quote, I actually enjoyed the Jailton Almeida versus Derek Lewis fight.
Yes.
If someone runs the ball in the NFL to slow down a high-powered passing offense, everybody cheers. If you're smart in MMA, everyone is disappointed. I was on the edge of my seat all night, see if Lewis could last, get back to his feet, and get the KO. And Casey Lydon, of course, liked that comment. I believe Esther Lynn did as well, the iconic voice.
I retweeted it.
You like, did?
I retweeted it this morning, sir. Of course.
This isn't the NFL, though.
This is a new gang, man. Almeida 5040 gang is the new... it's a little subculture coming up. Fury 9693, not a fun gang to be part of. Let me tell you something. We're taking a lot of heat. But the Almeida 5040 gang, it's a nice little movement. Now, people aren't too bothered by it, but they're just, you know, confused and like wondering what the hell's going on there. That's okay.
It's just not a good comparison, though.
It's not. Anytime, I have to say, anytime you compare MMA to a team sport, unless we're talking about salaries, even then it's not a one for one comparison. You know, it comes up a lot in the recent pay talks. Even then, I'll say it's not a one for one comparison, but there's certainly parallels to be drawn. But when we're talking about like just the competitive aspect of sports, and you're comparing MMA to basketball or comparing MMA to football, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, like this is like if someone walks the ball, like is walking the ball. Or skipping or frolicking the ball instead of running the ball. Because there at least is still contact. You're trying to hit him. You're trying to inflict damage, which is really what didn't happen here.
It's even worse, Mike. It's if they were like, you know, cranking away, 3 yard gain here, 5 yard gain, and then another 3 yard gain, getting a first down, like, you know, racking up first downs, time of possession, just dominating time of possession, and then, field goal. They kick the field goal.
On third down.
They fumbled at the goal line. They fumbled at the goal line. They fumbled at the goal line. And then ended up winning like 6-0.
That's a better comparison.
Yeah, 6-0, not or even 9-0, 15-0, but all field goals. All field goals. Never came close to actually getting it into the end zone. And fans would not be super thrilled with that, I don't think. Like you would certainly give, again, it's the same thing. You'd give credit to the winner, but you wouldn't come out of that weekend going like, oh, wow, they crushed the other team. Like, yeah, they controlled them and they beat them and that's fine. But yeah, you would like to have seen a touchdown.
Yeah, it's basically watching a one-on-one basketball game and the dude is just going to his right the whole time and just scoring the same way every time. We're like, we get it, dude. Like, we get it. Like, right. You can go to your right really, really well. Well, let's move on. Wildcard time, AK. Let's select one fighter we have not match made for and let's match made for him right now. Who you got? And why is it Angela Hill?
No, I went with Vitor Petrino. I think because I knew you would pick Angela Hill. So I'm like, let's spread the love a little bit here. I'm a little disappointed. Excuse me. I didn't go with a pick that I read later. A million people submitted this pick. And it wasn't my choice, but it was the definition of wild card. I went with Carlos Ulberg. Just two guys, again, who are streaking in the UFC. Exciting fight. But I'll say the real Petrino pick was probably done by the listeners. I think they did a better job than I did.
Agreed. It's Angela Hill versus Karolina Kovalkiewicz. The fact that these two women have never fought each other is so weird to me. It's very, 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 very strange. I know Angela called for some rematches. It was between Karolina or Michelle Waterson Gomez. Like those are the picks. So, Karolina it is. Let's see what we can do. Anyone claiming Otno points or anything like that, or can we go right into the peeps?
I do want to give an honor point to our old pal, one of our oldest listeners, Ren O, at Ren Credible. It's two N's on Twitter. Mike, he tagged both of us in a, not a DM, but in a comment, a reply. Check the tapes. While many called for Pavlov versus Aspinall, true, I was the only one to say it would be a championship fight at MSG due to something happening with Bones. He said this immediately after Tom Aspinall's last fight. First ever honor point. You know what, Ren O? You probably are the only person who was that specific with. So guess what? You are getting your first Otno point.
Did you verify this information?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I'm still...
Okay.
We have a surplus of points. I think we have... The holidays are coming up. Again, Reno, one of our oldest, most loyal listeners. Someone who was sending in picks and comments, I think, when we just first started doing the show, letting us know that we were on the right track, Mike. And I appreciate that. So Renault, take your point again. By Christmas is coming. Your Christmas shopping is now taken care of.
What a guy. That's why you're the Prince of Positivity, AK.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Do we need to go through the disclaimer, or do you think people understand the rules by now?
I'll do it real quick. I'll just run it through it real quick. All right, people, you know, as you just saw, if you're the only person to have a pick, well, then that's how you get a singular Otno point. And let me know, guys. Tag me. As you can see, as Mike said, I didn't do my research. Tag me. Let me know. I can do a little bit of research, but that kind of claim, I'm like, I don't know how to go back and check that. So by all means, people, just tag, DM me, message me, let me know if you think that you had a pick, and I'll do a little bit of checking and maybe get to a point. Watch out for mistakes, guys. Wrong weight class. Oh, Mike, I can't wait to bring this one up this week. Oh. Wrong weight. I'm saving this. Wrong weight class. People who have fought already, make sure if you make that match that you know it's a rematch, trilogy, whatever. Like, if you want, again, if you want Nascimento Maze 3, you got to remember, they literally just fought last night. Notable injuries where someone's away, people who are released, fights already booked, teammates, pregnancies, etc. And if your pick is just doo-doo, then we reserve the right to skip over.
Okay. I didn't get a ton, but let's go into this. Robbie Ryan. Hey, you blokes, hope you're good. Caio Baraglio versus Michel Pereira. Rodrigo Nascimento versus Justin Taffa. Nicholas Dalby versus Gunnar Nelson. Almeida versus the Pavlovich Aspinall loser. Wild card, he's with you. Vitor Petrino versus Carlos Ulberg.
Hey.
Standout performance of the show was Nicholas Dalby for me. What a warrior. Interesting stat. Jelton Almeida still landed more punches in this fight than Francis Ngannou landed last week. I mean, it's totally different.
Wait, is that right? What? He landed more punches than Francis Ngannou landed? Oh, like power strike. Yeah, I think so. Because what? Ngannou's at 37 power. So literally like one more. Like yeah. One more significant strike than Ngannou. That's kind of weird. Okay. I get it. Yeah. I get what they're saying.
John Ray. Boy, I got to tell you, I didn't think anybody would be matchmaking for Mark Chiesa, but they sure did. They sure did.
A couple, yeah.
Mark Chiesa versus Ignacio Bahamondes. Maura versus Elise Reed. Hill versus Amanda Hibas, win or lose. Petrino versus Cuchulaba. You know that fight's going to be insane.
That's the one. I got so much Petrino versus Cuchulaba. The reason I didn't pick this is I want Petrino's next fight to be normal. And he hasn't had that problem. Like, his fights have been normal. He's had a normal, exciting UFC career so far. Once you put him in the Cuchulaba path, you are sending him spiraling into a weird and wild and sexy forest, because Cuchulaba attracts weirdness, and everyone who fights him, something bizarre. Either the matchup gets canceled, postponed, something weird happens in the fight. So I think that's why I wanted to keep Petrino away from him. I just want to treat Petrino like a respected contender and not have to go into that area, the Cuchulaba zone.
Yeah, I mean, look at Magomed Ankalaev right now. Jeez Louise.
Hasn't been the same since.
Twice.
he got the touch of Cuchulaba twice, and his career is just, he's Ozzie Smith spiraling down into the, you know, the world of mystery or whatever. So, but a lot of people wanted, I think this was one of them. This and Angela Hill and Carolina was like the two most popular picks. Everyone picked these two fights.
Brenner versus the Dracar Close Joe Selecki winner. Caio Baraglio versus the Alan Craig loser. Nascimento versus Romanov. Dalby versus Chaos Williams. Lewis versus Biggie Boy. Almeida versus Gone. Four Corner Sports. Almeida versus Blades. Nicholas Dalby versus the Leech. Caio Baraglio versus Nasruddin Imavov. There's reports out there that Imavov has a fight booked. We haven't been able to confirm that yet, so stay tuned. Elvis Brenner versus Gabriel Santos 2. Renat Fakhretdinov versus Max Griffin. Angela Hill versus Karolina Kolbukevich. Red Powerlift on Twitter.
Who was that? Who was the last? What was the last one you just read? Four Corner Sports.
Four Corner Sports. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. That because the. Okay. Good. So I'll skip that one. But I didn't know that. Brenner Gabriel Santos too. I'm like, that's a deep cut. I actually didn't even know that that was a thing. Like, I didn't know they had previously fought.
There you go.
Well done. Well done. And then he said Fakhretdinov, Max Griffin.
Yes.
That's a great matchup. That's a great welterweight matchup for Corner. Mike, I'm building towards something at the end here. Trust me, I'm building towards something. That's a great welterweight matchup for Corner Sports. Well done. Good matchmaking.
I think this is a newcomer, Red Powerlift.
Okay.
Just one pick. Love this. Love when you just make one pick. Brenner versus the Frivola Santini winner, which I like. I like it.
My only thing is I feel like Frivola Santini deserves like a top 12 guy, right? Doesn't it feel like Brenner is a... That's a lot to ask them after they win a big fight at MSG to go back and fight this insanely dangerous Brazilian.
I mean, we'll see. I like it. I like it. Dad Jackson, who he apologized for his doo-doo a few weeks back. He had a nice stretch of non-doo-doo picks and then just... I mean, it was just a steaming, stinking bag of it. Nicholas Dalby versus Joaquin Buckley, off to a very good start here. Rodrigo Nascimento versus Justin Taffa. Someone already suggested that. Caio Baraglio versus a top 10 middleweight, which, by the way, if Caio had called for this name, I would have been like, I would have stood up and clapped for him. Jack Hermanson. Now, that's the kind of call out.
Yeah.
And you can't say, like, Jack was running from you. You'd be like, hey, Jack, you're so nice. Smile versus smile. Let's see who the better man is. Like, that's a great call out. That makes sense. That's reaching for the stars and possibly landing on a cloud. DDP, it's like, no, you're jumping into a freaking volcano that's about to erupt.
And falling into lava.
Elvis Brenner versus Drew Dober. Love that pick. This pick I don't like at all, Dad Jackson. I'm sorry. This it's not doo-doo, but it's just kind of stinky. AK, a lot of talk about UFC 300, right? A lot of talk about what could happen and who could fight, like who should be on the card and all of this. And one name that I think we can all expect to compete at UFC 300 is a guy who fought at UFC 100 and UFC 200. His name is Jim Miller, right? If I said, AK, write down a list of 100 names of guys you would want to see Jim Miller fight at UFC 300. I kind of feel like Dad Jackson's suggestion would not make your top 100.
There's not even 100 lightweights in the UFC. How long could this list be? This can't be that bad.
Mark Jacasey versus Jim Miller at UFC 300. I'd rather walk through a football field full of hot burning coals than watch that fight at UFC 300. I just don't want to see it. Like, come on. We want Jim Miller to be in like fun fights. This just doesn't sound like fun to me at all. I'd just be like, it would be flatulence in church if this was the fight poster that we got.
You don't want to see Jim Miller like trying to stuff Jacasey takedowns for 15 minutes and...
No.
Okay, so no, that's
see
not...
him like punch crazy Paul Felder. That's what I want to see. I want to see Joe Lozon trying to knock Jim Miller out in the first 30 seconds of the fight. And then if he fails, Jim Miller taps him. Like, I want to see him fight a wily vet who's just as fun and as exciting as he is. I don't want to see him fight D1 Jacasey. Sorry.
I hope Paul Felder's secretly back in the, not even secretly, I hope he's back in the USADA pool secretly.
He's in the
too.
Pool. He's definitely in the pool.
I hope he's in there secretly because they're already talking about making him and Jim Miller. You know, I hope it's already in the works. And he just obviously didn't want to break that. He's been saying it's just in case. I'm going back just in case. And I'm like, 300. I'm thinking about the back testing, how many months it takes. I don't even know what the new standards are going to be with the new drug testing agency. I'm just saying, you get back into the pool now. Feels like you'd be ready for UFC 300. Be ready, Paul.
Sorry, Dad. You're I just don't like it.
He tried.
You tried. No doo doo. Okay. No doo doo. You're not banned.
Not as bad as I thought it would be. You
tried. But it's just not a good pick. Go ahead, AK.
All right. Let's run through some of these quick. Tristan Gordet. Just want to read ones that haven't already been read out. Mora versus Amarim, sure. Jacqueline Amarim, sure. Jay Donaghy, Almeida versus Volkov. Don't know what else to do. Not the most stirring endorsement of Gelson Almeida's main event performance. Mike, what do you think? I think this is a bit of a weird one, but Dalby versus Fakhretdinov?
It's good. It's good.
You think so? Would that? I feel like it's too early, and I feel like I said Dalby should be rewarded with someone who's more clearly higher ranked, but that would be a fun as hell fight.
And I got to tell you, AK, and I don't know if you got a lot of picks on this, mm-hmm. I'm stunned that I didn't get 100% response of Fakhretdinov Zaleski Dos Santos too. Like, yeah, I feel like you have to run this back.
Only one person recommend that. I think I would like to see it run back, but I'm not all in on it. It was Fakhretdinov really looked like gassed as hell in that third round. Maybe because the first two rounds were pretty like back and forth. Maybe in a different kind of fight, he doesn't get so gassed. But I think this has to be a question now. When he was, I said on Twitter, he was getting that late choke attempt by Zaleski. It looked like he was going to pass out, but not because of the choke. He just looked tired. Like he looked like, well, I'm down here and I'm not like, you know, my defense pretty tight, not really in danger of getting choked. He sent me with some hammer fists. So let me take a quick like 10 second power nap. And then he actually did get back up. Like, yeah, it looked like he was kind of like just dozing. And then he very slowly woke up. He's like, oh, I'm in the middle of a fight. All right. I better end this round strong. So I'm okay. I don't know who the better fighter is. Don't get me wrong. I did not get that resolution. And it was entertaining. But I'm okay with not be doing it right away. I think down the road would be fine. But yeah, I didn't see more of that. I was surprised. Angela Hill, Carla Esparza rematch from The Ultimate Fighter over 9 years ago. It won't be next. I have a feeling Angela Hill is going to want to get it back in there first quarter of 2024. Esparza, I think when she first announced her pregnancy, she has had the child already, but since she first announced it, she said like mid 2024 was her goal, so I don't know if the timeline's going to align there, but it would be fun to see these two veterans fight each other somewhere down the road, quote unquote, again. On Instagram, Pax and Rembus, Lewis versus Volkov 2, he just says random fight night main event or main card or pay-per-view. MMA heads, deep cut here. Rodrigo Nascimento versus Budai Gaziev winner, Shamil Gaziev, UFC 296. There's your Fakhretdinov Zaleski 2 recommendation. Angela Hill versus Eduardo Mora.
I thought about that. Yeah. But I feel like you can't give Mara a name after missing weight by 3.5 pounds. You just can't.
And I think at the stage of their careers, much like with Denise Gomez, I think Angela Hill might be a bit too much for her right now. I think I'd pick Angie to win that.
Maybe. Mara's just so big. Like, it's just not even fair.
It's true, but she does not impress me beating up a 5'1" Montserrat Ruiz,
five foot,
who she outweighed by at least 10 pounds, 10 solid pounds. I'm sure Eduardo Mara's going to be fine. This time next year, I might be telling people, oh, Eduardo Mara's the greatest, give her a title shot. But I will say, after her debut, where she missed weight so badly and then just bullied a insanely smaller fighter, I could not have been less impressed. Could not. It did nothing for me. It did nothing. Oh. So I'd love to see her get a bit of a schooling from Angela Hill if that was in the cards. Jakizi versus Daniel Zellhuber. Is Daniel Zellhuber a good wrestler, Mike?
I don't know. Dude's very good at everything. So
he's very good at everything. He's well-rounded. He's a mixed martial artist. So I don't know how I feel about that either. Tino Alvarez, Zaleski versus Ponzinibbio, Jakizi versus Ishmael Bonfim. Okay. I kind of see the reasoning there. Gerard Biagin. I like this pick a lot. Brenner versus Hawk Pross, Malarkey winner. They're fighting UFC Shanghai December 9th. And I don't... Mike, what do you think of this? Jelton Almeida and Sergey Spivak. A bit of a step back, but someone who, you know, might, if he finishes him, which he should, might, you know, get some of that bitter taste out of people's mouths?
No.
No? Too much to lose there? Too little to gain? Too much to
lose? He's just too far ahead, man. Like, I feel like we'd get an answer, but not enough. Because, like, Spivak's fine, but I think Almeida would just do to him what he's done to everybody else.
Yeah, it's like a stay busy. It'd be like a stay busy fight.
Give him blades, really... man. Like, that's just it. That's the one.
That's the ideal. That's the ideal. James Sherwood said, screw it. Almeida versus Aspinall Pavlovich loser. I'm fine with it. I highly doubt that's the path the UFC would go right now. Rodrigo Nascimento, Rogério de Lima, and Brenner versus Drew Dober. There you go. People are talking about it, Mike. You're on to something. People are talking about it. All right, let's close out with Twitter here. Liam Perry, Jakizi versus Klein, Brenner versus Diego Fajeda. Mike, what do you think of... I thought of this one too. Nicholas Dalby versus the Neil Magny, Mike Malott winner. And would you prefer one of those names more than the other?
Probably Malott.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because that's just a fun fight. Neil would probably be like, I don't know. I like it. I do like it. I like the concept. And perhaps if one of those guys can't make it, maybe he slides right in there.
Oh, you're pulling that card.
I like that idea as well. I like it.
Clever boy. Yeet Skeet McGillicuddy says, screw it. Almeida Aspinall Pavlovich winner.
Yes.
Yee-hi, boy. I'm all in on Almeida. And even I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's the way to go. Rodrigo Nascimento versus Spivak to determine the best unathletic heavyweight grappler. Ow.
Damn.
Compliment? That's overall a compliment. That, the word best is in there. Petrino versus Inzuchuku. Barry O'Reilly, Jakizi Kutatlatse, Mara versus Jillian Robertson. I like that because Jillian's a big strawweight. So there you go, Mara. You're definitely not bullying her. Though really, that should just, wouldn't that be better if that just happened at 125? Like seeing Mara and Jillian Robertson cut down for a 115 fight just seems so pointless. Like just fight it at 125. It's not a fun cut for either of them. So why are we doing this? You just read Four Corners versus NY. Who had that excellent Fakhretdinov Max Griffin welterweight bout pick. All right, so I'll still close here with our pal, Mike, another Otno original, Toke Gerding Jensen. Toke, Otno original, a big heck of a morning caller. Toke, we love you. Rodrigo Nascimento, Chris Barnett, great pick. Elvis Brenner, Mike Davis, great pick. Mike Davis, where are you? Come back and fight, please. Mara versus Sam Hughes, sure. And then we get to his Caio Bahalio pick.
Oh, no. Oh, Mike. No. Is this the buildup? This is it?
Yeah, it's not GDP. Don't worry. It's not going to make you that mad. He says, Caio Bahalio, another decision, another slight step up the ladder. So he goes, Bahalio versus Max Griffin.
Is Max going to middleweights?
I don't know. You know what? Let me check this real quick in case I'm the crazy one. But this man has never fought at middleweight in the UFC. I don't see anything about him moving up. He has 15 fights in the UFC, by the way, all at 170 pounds.
Oh boy.
So I don't know if I missed something, Toke, but I'm throwing this in because I don't know if you remember, after I made my Barbosa Topuria pick, you and much of the MMA community were quite upset. You're my best friend and you are, you hold me to a certain standard, so I'm fine with it. But, his last fight wasn't at middleweight, was it? No. Why do people keep saying
it was not?
No. That was with Michael Morales, right? Toke was quite vocal I heard it on Heck of a Morning, calling me out, saying it was one of the worst picks he's ever heard. Listen, Toke.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a petty man. Oh, I didn't, Mike. I've been thinking about it every night before I go to bed. he's living rent free up here, Mike. But not anymore. Now I'll sleep peacefully because I realize I don't have to take criticism for a man who matched up Caio Bahalio with career welterweight Max Griffin. Took his time, typed this out, and sent it in and said, now I've done it.
Oh my gosh.
I sent in my Otno picks for this week. Well, Toke, you embarrassed yourself and you stepped in a big pile of doo-doo. I love you to death, but... You ain't criticizing my picks again anytime soon, buddy. Let me tell you, Bahalio versus Max Griffin, it ain't good. It ain't good. You're
so
better than that.
Proud. So
I know
proud
you're.
You,
I know okay? You're better than that. And I know I'm not better than this. Being petty. I loved the Ariel Helwani Francis Ngannou receipts segment. Let me tell you something. That was like one of my favorite MMA hour segments of the year. So if you guys think that I am above being petty and picking out comments like that and then nitpicking a throwaway Otno pick, well, you just don't know me because I'm all about that life.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very well done. Very proud of you right now. Yeah. Like,
anyways, guys,
you've never been more my best friend than you are at this moment.
I hope so. Anyway, guys, you could send your amazing picks to me at DM at Alexander K. Lee on Twitter, at Alexander K. Lee on Instagram, alex.lee@espionation.com. Email Mike, how can they reach you?
On YouTube next week because we're live. Be live next week after UFC 295. So save all that information for the card of all cards, which is UFC Vegas 82, I believe. Brendan Allen versus Paul Craig and a whole bunch of contender series fighters on the main card, which is going to be super duper fun. But next week, everybody, UFC 295, Yuri Prohashka versus Alex Pereira for the vacant light heavyweight championship. The fight of fights. Cannot wait for that one. Sergey Pavlovich, Tommy Aspinall, co-main event for the interim heavyweight title. Jessica Andrade taking another ridiculous, weird fight that she probably shouldn't be taking against Mackenzie Dern. Diego Lopez is like, hey, Elvis Brenner, doing real good, dude. But I'm taking that Rookie of the Year spot. He's gonna try against Pat Sabatini, Matt Frivola, Benoit Saint-Denis.
Oh,
God, such a good fight. That's my favorite Otto point I've ever gotten. That's that pick. Josh Van, Kevin Borjas, Jared Gordon, Mark Madsen, Dennis Bajuka versus Jamal Emmers. It still has... I think we have Nazim Sadikov versus Slava Klaus. Okay, that fight is still happening. It was Matush Rebetsky, Nirulo Aliyev. That is no longer happening.
Right, right.
Nirulo Aliyev, who's going to play Habib in the Habib movie from Damn, They Were Good. Tabitha Ricci versus Lupi Godinez. Love that fight. Kyung Ho Kang versus John Castaneda. That's going to be wild. And we get Steve Urseg versus Alessandro Costa. So as of right now, perfect number, 12 fights. This is exactly where we need to be. Maybe we'll end up with a 13th. We can get a new opponent for Mr. Rebetsky at 155 pounds. But not bad, AK. Great main card. Okay. I mean, seems to a bunch of local flavor here for the prelims, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But the main card's pretty good.
It's the prelims are light on star power, to put it kindly. But I actually like the matchmaking. I think these are good competitive fights, which unfortunately might mean good competitive decisions, which doesn't always light the prelim crowd. Like I'm looking at it now. Seven prelims. I would see five decisions here. I think five of these fights go to, and that's not a bad thing. Cause again, I think these are like good competitive fights, but if you're those fans who are coming early looking for like, yeah, let's get like a bunch of first round knockouts to kind of get the blood pumping, get me warmed up for the main card. I don't think you're getting that.
Yeah. This is MSG. So you're probably not going to get that anyways. It'll fill that place up till we get to like the co-main event.
True.
So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting back to New York next Saturday. Watch party with my man GC. Jose, of course, will be in New York all week long. There's going to be a live MMA hour on Friday, I believe. I don't even know if there's any tickets left. It would shock me if it was already sold out. So much going on this week on MMA Fighting. So stick with us. We'll have the normal schedule, BTL, heck of a morning, preview shows, post shows, press conferences, a live on to the next one next Saturday. I believe we'll go around 10 a.m. Eastern since my flight out of that area is until like super late Sunday night. So it won't be incredibly early and we'll have a good time. So until then, everybody, thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week to recap UFC 295 from a matchmaking perspective. Always remember the golden rule, everybody. Don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. And we'll have more fun following UFC 295 right here and on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.